Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Nishit Kumar, and today we'll be having a discussion on Online Gaming Rules 2026. And to discuss more about it, today we have with us the public policy expert Prasoon Sharma. Mr. Sharma, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nishit ji. Thanks for having me.
So, Mr. Sharma, as we all know that today, the 1st of May, the promotion and regulation of online gaming rules, which in effect is an extension of the Promotion and Regulation of Online Gaming Act 2025, which was notified last year, has come into effect. We would like you to bring out the broader outlines or contours of the rules and how are the rules different from the Act of 2025?
Starting with the context, this gaming industry is one of the sectors which was about 1.8 billion in 22, and now projected growth will be 8.6 billion by this year. So this is a huge industry in itself. And other aspect why we need regulations or, you know, interference from the government is that India has around 500 million gamers, which is like second largest globally. And 90% of revenue is coming from games related to skill games, whether it's like rummy or fantasy sports related to cricket. So there was a need to regulate, specifically validate the agency as well as the players. And also there should be some kind of limitations on number of hours which will be devoted. And there is another aspect in gaming is one is skill-based gaming and other is more towards like betting games, which is prohibited in some states or I would say regulated by state agencies. So this particular gaming regulation is trying to balance out these two major aspects and some other aspects as well.
Right. Mr. Sharma, as we started off in our opening remarks, that this rules which have come into effect is an extension of the Act which was promulgated in the year 2025. What actually do the rules aim to achieve in this regard?
So the core component of 2026 rules is first verification and user protections. The one is like all platforms must verify their users via Aadhaar link KYC, and there should be some cap of deposit like 5 lakhs annually, and also enforce around 3 hours of daily play limit. So these are the like core components. One, secondly, game classification. There should be clear split between games of skill and games of chance, because games of skill, that is like rummy online games and all that, and chance is like more towards betting. But games of chance or betting is state regulated. So IT ministry certified skill games via algorithms, ensuring 30% of the players should win. And lastly, self-regulations, like there should be mandatory self-regulatory organizations like Indian Gaming Associations to oversee compliance and, you know, fairness in the play. And also it's like a guardrail for the players and for the citizens. And there should be a fair play on each side. And most importantly, there shouldn't be some anti-social element like which are was or were about to use it as a money laundering or such kind of anti-social activities in these gaming platforms.
So as we understand broadly, the sector can be divided into three distinct segments. You also mentioned about the betting part and the gaming part and the other. Esports, as we understand, has been gaining quite some ground over the past few years, and of course also the online social games. Now these are mostly, we believe, are casual games that form part of everyday recreation, primarily which are skill based and designed for entertainment, learning, so on and so forth. But so far as the online money games are concerned, this was the Achilles heel, or this was the area which was of some concern, not just for the participants or the stakeholders, but for the government and the agencies as well. Now this segment includes games which involve actually the financial stakes, and they are big. They may be based mostly rather based on chance, as you say, or skill or both, but mostly if we see, it's mostly a chance kind of a game which is played when it comes to online money games. And what we understand, we are given to understand that with this rules which have been promulgated or which comes into effect today, completely kind of bans the online money games. Now, how significant is this given its effect on society in general and of course the younger people involved in it?
It's very critical, especially for the young generations and generations which are hooked in a digital ecosystem, to safeguard them and also create a safer environment. So overall vision behind this of Indian government is to provide a safer environment and try to weed out the antisocial elements, as you mentioned, specifically for Game of Chance. If you see in non-digital space also, there are states which are allowing like lottery system, like a paper lottery and all, but that is regulated. Mm-hmm. And online or digital space, it was, you know, just infringing that. So in this new rules, they are trying to balance it out that there should be a clear split. What kind of gaming is that? And then it's like a guardrails instead of like any kind of legal agreement. But yes, it will evolve. And as you said, there is large bets coming and they have also mentioned about cap. And they have also mentioned about the fairness, like ensuring around 30% of the success rate is also, there are some, you know, fairness in that. Previously, we were not sure how many were winning or whether like there is a set rule or there is a fairness in selecting this winning eligibility of the candidates. So all these are giving a safer, regulated environment for our people who wants to enjoy this digital space in different digital gaming ecosystem.
Yeah, Mr. Sharma, today there was a kind of ambiguousness or a gray area, like as to what games could be categorized into a game of skill or a game of chance or social games or so. So we believe that this act and especially the rules which have been promulgated today kind of distinguishes or brings about a clarity so far as the classification of the games are concerned, that is one. And of course, there would be penal provisions as well, as we understand in the given act and now in the rules as well. And for that, naturally, there has to be the authorities or the regulatory bodies which must be formed to oversee all these things. If you could bring out any information on that.
So for authorities, there is a provision of self-regulatory organization like Indian Gaming Associations, and there will be much more like that so that they do self-regulations based on the framework which government has proposed, whether it's CAP, whether it's validation of users using Aadhaar link KYCs, and also if connecting with our UPI, so we can also, you know, trace the digital transactions. So these are the mandates, but yes, there will be more on-ground support will be needed from this self-regulatory organizations. And I think this 2026 rule will evolve in future also, seeing the implications on the ground and how these SROs or self-regulatory organizations are implementing this or what feedbacks they are giving. So I would say it's a beginning of a bigger framework, but it will keep evolving with the feedback of SROs, with the feedbacks of users. And also, there is a bigger ecosystem of startups and tech companies which will be generating jobs based on this. So their feedback will also come, like Dream 11 and such startups. They were doing good and they were generating revenue with, you know, taxes on the paper. So all these major stakeholders will feedback this loop. And I think this rule 2026 of Indian gaming will evolve in future as well.
Right, Mr. Sharma, this particular act and now the rules which come into effect from today, they together are kind of expected to deliver a wide-ranging benefits for society at large and the economy, of course, which act sets the legal foundation. And the rules actually ensure that its provisions are implemented in a clear and time-bound manner. Now, we try to understand that how these games, the online games, was having very nefarious or a very negative impact on society, especially when it comes to youth. Because what we understand is that there have been reports and wide-ranging reports of the young people falling prey to it in a very bad way, so much so that it has led to devastating effects. Now, with the promulgation of the Act and now rules, how far this slide which is happening in the society, especially with the younger generation, can help, you know, the people?
So first of all, it gives a platform where all these stakeholders can come to give a feedback or user experience. And there are watch agencies, which we call it self-regulating organizations like gaming associations, who will be, you know, watching this, with government also watching this. So I think, as I said, it will give a broader layout of it. But yes, for the younger generations, it affects not only financially, it's socially, emotionally, and also there are some other aspects of like engaging them to do something which cause maybe physical damage or, you know, other things also, that still we have to, you know, keep a guard on it. And I think this will keep our SROs and government still on a watch, because we have to keep the gates checked, who are coming or getting benefit of it. This is a kind of challenge not only in India, but globally also. Even in Europe also, whether it's GDPR, and in US, whether it's the state lottery rules, but they have to keep, nudging their system and keep the watch on. And same thing, I think Indian stakeholders has to do with this ever-growing gaming ecosystem in India.
Right, Mr. Sharma, we also understand that the Act and now the rules together kind of provide or create a balanced framework which also promotes growth while at the same time safeguarding the users. And naturally, the Act would also, with the support that it gives, India would probably be emerging as a hub for digital creativity and innovation by encouraging esports and, of course, safe online gamings. So how do you see this, when it comes to supporting are kind of augmenting the Indian economy?
So in terms of report, I think there is a tentative, numbers like it can create jobs up to 250,000 by 2027 in tech and content and esports. It can boost digital payment up to like 10,000 crore through UPI on a monthly basis. So this is a kind of impact it can create. And overall, if this Indian gaming ecosystem can grow up to 10 billion USD. So it's a huge ecosystem. It will create a lot of jobs. It will also, boost the digital transactions. And with the increase in like 5G rollout and other AR, VR gaming technologies, it will, enhance the domains in which they are working. Now they are in sports or, betting, but maybe they'll be on skilling level and teaching with some prize winning. And these kind of domains will open with this new technology, with new framework and with trust of people, because now in this rule, there is a validation process where people can trust that this is a validated platform, and the platform can also trust the users through Aadhaar KYC. So more venues will open, more learning opportunities, and more domains will be penetrated. Suppose in export or import, or you want to create a digital twin of your small factory with gaming and they charge. So there'll be a lot of opportunity coming, and it's a big boost to our economy and to our youth ecosystem.
Yes, Mr. Sharma, as we all know, India is thrusting or galloping, ahead in every sphere, and this is no exception. India's positioning as a leader in responsible gaming and digital regulation now strengthening, in effect, the global leadership as well for India. The framework comes into effect today and shows how innovation can be balanced with strong social safeguards. And that's very important, because it might be a downhill if it was going unregulated and all, especially for the youth. It also offers a model for other countries as well. And dealing with, you talked about the UPI kind of being a major success. Now, many other countries, even the advanced economies, are kind of emulating our UPI structure, the Aadhaar-based payments and all. This particular regulation and act which has been enacted, this could be another game changer and for other countries as well to emulate. Now, this as well enhances India's credibility in the global digital governance, that is. Your say on that?
Absolutely. India is leading the world in digital public infrastructure creations, whether, as you mentioned about our, identification digital ecosystem Aadhaar, whether our, payment system UPI, whether even our voting system, the elections are going on. And then also our health system, like how we did the COVID vaccination. So COVID was an example. So this can be another feather in gaming system, and it aligns with Digital India broader visions, turning gamers into skilled workers. And it can also help, young generations to learn new things also, and, visualize a few things through the games. So yes, you are absolutely right. When India makes things, especially in digital public infrastructure, it is for the world and it is for the larger audience. It's not the vision behind India's digital public infrastructure is not to earn profit, but to safeguard employees, safeguard their citizens, and also enhance the ease of living of our commoners on the ground, especially in rural areas.
Right. Thank you so very much, Mr. Sharma, for having joined us and shared your views on this. Thank you so very much.
Namaskar. Thanks for having me.
You can listen to this program on our mobile app, NewsZone AIR, and our YouTube channel, NewsZone AIR Official.
Spotlight.